Good evening, listeners. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. It's that time again. Evening Motivation with Cheryl Ultram. How are you? I hope you had a good day. You know, it is now just after sunset, and we are here this evening for today's motivation. Our motivation topic for today is everybody needs a fresh perspective. Everybody needs a fresh perspective, and we are looking at perspectives this evening, and this motivation is centered around a familiar Bible verse, Romans 12 verse 2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What is your perspective on life? Do you fear that you are too insecure to surround yourself with others? Do you feel like you're too broken to connect with the right people? Everyone at some point in their lives believes the lie that they aren't good enough. We focus so much on our exterior that we often ignore the interior of our hearts. We often shy away from the relationship we deserve, the lives we deserve, and the things that we deserve because of fear of never being good enough to accomplish those things. We fear contaminating the things we love with our own shortcomings. Let's face it, a mess is a sign of use. Where there is a mess, there is a sign that God is working through your life. But the reality is, God will turn your mess into your message. Where there is no mess, there is no message. What is God telling you? The things we keep hidden away are often the things we treasure most. God says to us, step out with boldness and take on life with faith. For I have given you the power to shape your world. Have you ever valued someone so much that you refuse to bring them into your mess? Have you ever let a love so deep pass you by because of fear? God says, today is the day that you change your perspective and believe in the identity that I gave you. Now is the time to let God in. Let him in as the lover of your life. Now, this devotion was written by Crystal Ultram, and I asked her to join me this evening so that we could discuss the devotion in a little bit more, go into the depth of this devotional. You know, as I read the devotional, some words stuck out at me. Words like fear, insecurity, brokenness, right people, connecting. The point about us feeling as though we're not good enough. These are the things that came to mind as I read the devotional. So this evening we want to have just a brief discussion about the right or a fresh perspective. So Crystal, what would have inspired you to write this devotional?
I wrote this devotional as an encouragement to those who are struggling with finding themselves.
Okay, you wrote it as encouragement for those who are struggling with finding themselves. Okay, so as I say the word fear, there's an acronym that people often talk about when they talk about fear. And they say fear stands for false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. That's the acronym for fear. And the other word that stood out to me was insecurity. Could you tell me a little bit more about insecurities?
Insecurities. Insecurities are those things that if you don't check them, if you don't know what they are, they can run your life. And so for me, I see insecurities as bullies.
You see them as bullies?
Yeah.
Wow. I like that. Insecurities are bullies. So tell me more. Tell me more about that.
If you don't stand up to them, if you don't tell them what to do, if you don't manage them, they will push you around.
If you don't tell them what to do. I've never looked at it that way. So you're saying that you have to be intentional in talking to your insecurities? What are some of the insecurities that we can have?
We can have insecurities about our image, about our purpose, about our intellect, our emotions, different things, how people perceive us.
Okay, so you're saying that you, when you have these insecurities, you have to actually talk to them and tell them what to do. I like that, and I want to use that, because insecurities, when I think of my insecurities, what are some of my insecurities? Okay, one of my insecurities, to be very transparent, one of my insecurities would be, I'm a perfectionist, and I hate not being perfect, and I find that unless I can do something where I am totally perfect, sometimes I don't want to do it. I always want to wait until I am totally prepared. That is one of mine. Doing things that are not up to the standard as far as I'm concerned. So you're saying that I have to talk to myself. So in a situation like that, what would I tell myself?
Struggle with being a perfectionist, what you would have to tell yourself is to just do it, to remember to operate in faith and not in what you think other people will perceive you to be. So just do it, and when you do it, perfect that. After you have finished it, add some more things to it.
So after, just start. Okay, so you're saying just do it. And they just do it is one of my favorite slogans, the Nike slogan, I must say, just do it. Because I have to use that to convince myself to do the things that sometimes I am hesitant to do, the things that I would delay about. So that's a good one. So you're saying for the bully of waiting until I have it perfected, I should just step out, do it, and then add layers of perfection or add layers of improvement.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
You know, I like that. I like that. I like that. I like that. Okay, so one of the insecurities that many of us struggle with as well is image. And, you know, for me as a person who is plus size, I know there are many plus size women who struggle with their image, but for me, there's just maybe a few areas that I would like to improve in terms of me being plus size. I am not, I like my size, but still I want to be fitter, and I want some areas to be, you know, like my stomach and my arms and stuff. But I think I like the size that I am. I like it. This is my size. But when I think of the amount of pressure that plus size people get, one of the things that I notice in my journey is that sometimes people think there's only that only plus size people get pressure or get criticized or get insulted and so on, or that only plus size people struggle with their image. But one of the things I've realized along the way is that persons who are small too, persons who are smaller, persons who might fit into the petite category and so on, they too also struggle with their image. And that was shocking to me at first, because I thought it was only a problem if you were too fat, so to speak. I did not realize the extent to which people who fall into categories like petite, or people who sometimes are in what other people would consider to be ideal weight, those people also struggle tremendously with their image. So what would you say to somebody who is struggling, the bully, the voice in your head that says that you are not attractive enough, you're not pretty, you don't look good, for that person who goes in the mirror and when they dress and they look at themselves, nothing that they put on, they don't approve of, what would you say to that person?
To that person, I would say one of the things that you should focus on more so is the value of life, the value of health, Too many times we focus on what we are wearing or how our hair is done and stuff like that. But when it comes to being confident and being content with who you are and how you look, one of the things that you have to focus on is your life, the fact that you have breath, the fact that you are able to move and do things. That is important. Another thing that I would say is focus on your relationship with God. If you don't know your creator, if you don't know what God had in mind for you when he made you, if you don't know that when he made you, he called you good, he called you beautiful, fearfully and wonderfully made, you would think that you are not good enough. You would find different parts of yourself that you would like to change. But when you know that God himself created you and he was pleased with what he did, that would give you a fresh perspective and that will help you to look at yourself differently. Take the emphasis off of how you look. Focus more on your character, how you treat people, what you're doing, your purpose. Instead of focusing so much on yourself, focus on service, focus on others.
Okay, I like that. All right. Now, I see you talked here about the fear of letting other people in. I see you talk about that. That's an interesting perspective. You're so conscious of your own shortcomings and your own imperfections that you actually don't let other people in. Tell me a bit more about that. I mean, you know, I love your devotions and they make me think a lot deeper about things that I too struggle with. So tell me a bit more about letting people in.
For that, a lot of times when we are insecure about ourselves, what we do is we shut off people so as to not get hurt, so as to not get judged. And what we do in the process is we just close them off from a part of ourselves that they would like to receive.
Okay, so you're saying that we are afraid of being judged. We're afraid of being vulnerable. We're afraid of being open. Now, what? It's a two-way thing, isn't it? Interesting, because does that person have any responsibility in understanding also how to handle a person who is insecure or fearful about a love? And let's say it's a relationship. Does that person have any responsibility in terms of how they should treat the situation or how much information they should seek out or even the understanding of where that person might be at?
Yes, that person has a responsibility also to get to know the person, to help them see themselves in a different way. The thing about insecurities is if you don't work on them, their insecurities, they come from the inside. Your insecurities are within you. So if you don't work on them, then the person on the outside, they can't really help you with what's in you unless you bring it out. So you have to come to a place where you yourself are transparent enough to share.
Okay, so you're saying that an environment must be created that would allow you to be comfortable to share about the things that you are insecure about.
Yeah,
because oftentimes what I find happens is that everybody has some type of insecurity. Everybody does. But sometimes we strive so much for perfection that we do not make allowances for the imperfections. Yeah? I know you're a very soft speaker. You're very gracious and gentle. But I just want you to project a bit more so that our listeners can hear you, because what you're saying is really, really good. We don't want to avoid relationships because of our fears, but at the same time, we want to know that there is a platform whereby we can be honest, we can be transparent, we can be vulnerable. So I like what you said about that. The other thing that I saw in the devotional that I really love is the part where you said a mess is a sign of use. People don't like messy people. People don't like people with issues or, you know, somehow as we go through life, we tend to think that we all have to have it all together. But you're bringing a different perspective. You're saying a mess is a sign of use. So when I say that, I'm thinking of construction. I'm thinking of road works, especially in Barbados. You know, when MTW goes and they repave the road and we have these lovely roads and it's so smooth. And then suddenly you see another company turn up and they start to dig, they start to cut tracks in that road and there's so much rubble. And then you see a sign saying work in progress. You know, it might be construction ahead or something like that. When I hear you talk about mess is a sign of use, you know, I can see it clearly that as long as we are being used, as long as we are doing stuff, you're saying that there will be some element of rubble. There will be something there. I remember Facebook. Facebook was one of the places that I saw this happen in the supermarket industry and so on. If you have a situation where let's say an aisle is being cleaned or there's a spillage or you have a situation where merchandise is being put on the shelves and so on. Usually there should be some sign saying that this is happening in this area. And usually you don't have to shut down the entire supermarket to work with one aisle, to stop one aisle or to clean up one area. Usually you focus just on that area. Even when you think of cleaners going into to situations, cleaners are supposed to work in a way that the normal business can still continue with as minimal interference as possible. So when I think of this devotion, I'm thinking also of Facebook. I remember when for Facebook was in that development mode, you would go to sleep. Or you might be using Facebook, and while you were working in the program, you would just notice that suddenly something was changed, right? There was no notification. There was no, they didn't shut down the program. You just realized that something that was on the left maybe might have shifted to the right, or there was a different way of doing the same thing. And one of the things that when that happened to me, I realized, you know what? These guys are a work in progress and they're not making the changes in a way that you know, they're not asking your permission to make the changes. They're just making the changes and they're making the changes while you are working in the program. And I found that really, really, really interesting because normal expectation would probably be for a program that is so global, you probably would expect the people to do it differently. We don't like interruption. We don't like that, you know, having to change. I remember when the highway I think there was some construction being done on the highway and they blocked one side of the road and forced everybody to use the other side, but business continued as usual. So talk to me about where there is no mess. You're saying let me get back to it. A mess is a sign of use. That's one of the things you said. And you said where there's mess, there's a sign that God is working through your life. So talk to me about that. Talk to me about mess.
Mess. A lot of times we try to understand everything to a T. We want to know everything. And with God, there's no way that we can understand everything that He's doing in our lives. And oftentimes we will look at our past and we will say, well, I don't like that, and we try to cover it up. But God will oftentimes use our past to help us create our future. And so where we have the messy situations or the mistakes that we would have made, God would use that to push us further, to take us to some place, to another place.
Okay. All right. So I like what you said. God will turn your mess into your message. We don't look at mess like that. Oftentimes we want to erase it. We want to forget about it. Oftentimes we don't look at mess as having some purpose. You know, even as we think about the season that we are in now, if we think about this season as being a difficult season, we are just thinking about it ending. We're just thinking about getting past it. But if we look at it, if we embrace it as something useful, like you're saying, if you look at your mess as something useful, if you look at it, let's say as a recyclable item, because oftentimes when we think of items that we can recycle, we discard a lot of things that we can actually repurpose and that we can reuse. And in having that mindset, if we have that type of mindset, then we'll be looking for opportunities to use the things that we would usually discard. So I like that your mess will turn into your message. And I really love the fact that you said step up with boldness and take on life with faith. Talk to us about that.
That line, step up with boldness and take on life with faith. Whatever it is that you are called to, whatever you're supposed to do, what God has assigned you to do, a lot of times we will feel fear, we will feel a sense of doubt, but do it regardless. Don't allow fear, don't allow anything to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. He prepared you for that specific assignment, and he knew beforehand that you were able to complete it. So don't allow fear or insecurities to be a stumbling block.
Okay, oftentimes we think about the mistakes that we will make. You know, I think that even this, when you think of this radio station, this is a classic example where Dr. Bloggs would have started an initiative. He stepped into the unknown. You know, as they say, if you go into the forest and there was a road there before, then somebody else was there before you. But if you go into the forest and you actually chop a path, you know, you are actually using your initiative and you are actually creating something. And he has stepped into the unknown, stepped into an arena that he did not have prior experience in. But like you said, God has given him the ability. God has given him the things that he needs to develop this. And I like what you said before, that we sometimes before we do things or before we attempt things, we like to have all the pieces together. We like to have all the pieces of the puzzle. And that perspective often prevents us from starting. That perspective prevents us from starting. And very often we forget that. You know, so I like the concept of the devotional. Specifically the fact that you don't have to have all the pieces to start. When you're starting out a puzzle, you don't know exactly where every piece will fit. But know for sure you have all the pieces. And as you put one in place, you will be able then to figure out the other pieces and so on. So I like that. I like the fact that you can, you know, work on you and work on the things that you have to do and treat them like work in progress. Yeah? So you said today is the day that you change your perspective and believe in the identity that I gave you. You said God is saying, today is the day that you change your perspective and believe in the identity that I gave you. It sounds to me like an identity crisis. Talk to me about identity.
A lot of times we take on the identity of the world. We take on what people say about us. We take on who people say we should be. And we do not consult God. We do not go to him to figure out Who am I?
Who did you create me to be?
Who did you create me to be? What did you call me to do? Who am I supposed to speak to? What am I supposed to teach them? And so whenever we step ahead of God, or we ignore God and we don't talk to him concerning our identity, then we immediately take on the identity of those around us or the world at large. So knowing God, knowing who created you, and talking to him and getting your value from him, understanding who you are, that helps you to avoid having an identity crisis.
I like it. And again, you've maybe thought of something, because you're saying basically that sometimes the identity that we portray is not our original identity. But because, I guess, when if our thoughts become our habits, and if our thoughts become our actions, and our actions repeated become our habits, then obviously we can create identities that were not original identities. And then you talked about the people around us. Interesting, because sometimes we're not as guarded about who we should have around us, who we should have speaking to us, and so on. So share with me a bit more as to how the people play a part and how they help to shape our identity or to change our original identity.
Those that we surround ourselves with, the Bible says bad company corrupts good morals.
Repeat that. Bad company.
Bad company corrupts good morals. So no matter how good your morals are, no matter how much good you have in your mind to do, whoever you surround yourself with, if they are acting contrary to what you have and what you believe, that will somehow seep into what you are doing. So if you want to be a good person, you can't hang around bad people and then expect to be good, because at some point you're going to take up their habits, you're going to take up their behaviors, and you're going to accept them as yours. So you have to know who you are, who you want to be, who you have chosen to be, and surround yourself with people who are like-minded.
Right. So you were basically saying that persons with different identities can superimpose their identity on you, or you can superimpose your identity on somebody else. But what I'm hearing that is important is that you must know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, then you are not able to recognize when an identity is not yours.
Yeah.
And I like that, because if we don't know who we are, if we don't understand the relevance of our identities, and you know, even as I think about it in the physical realm, each of us have a unique identity. You know, there's that uniqueness about identity. So even though two people may be, you know, they might be close, they might be twins, they might be alike in many things, there's still something that makes them unique. So I like that. I like that perspective about knowing your own identity. So, you know, as I think about the devotion, and as I'm reading it here, as you prepared it, I see you have a road sign that says fresh perspective ahead. So that's going to be my takeaway for this evening, to constantly think about that road sign that says fresh perspective, to have a new perspective. And as Romans 12 says to us, that we have the power, we have the ability, we can actually renew. We can be transformed by renewing our minds. We can be transformed by renewing our minds. It says again, do not conform to the pattern of this world. And pattern, you know, sometimes we do not think that the world has a pattern, right? But it does have a pattern. And if we understand the pattern of the world, then we can understand then what our identity as Christians, our identity in Christ, we can understand then what the different identities are, what the different patterns are. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is something that I have to do very, very, very often, because I find that my mind is my biggest battleground. very, very often. What tips would you give to a person to help in that area? How can we renew our minds?
The ways to renew your mind, reading. Focus on what you're reading. Focus on what you're listening to. Focus on what you're seeing. If you read a lot of junk, you listen to a lot of junk. If you hear, see, smell, touch, all of it is junk. At the end of the day,
you
that
are junk
will get inside of you.
Oh boy.
It might not necessarily mean that you are junk. It might just mean that the junk has gotten
inside of you. Okay.
So you have to take it back out.
Okay, I like that. Junk in the trunk. Right? So you're saying, look at what you're listening to. Look at what you're seeing. Look at what you're eating. Because, you know, there are some people who are natural junk food babies. Look at what you're eating, because junk in, junk out. Yeah? So I like what you said about that, how to renew our minds, to look at what we are putting into our minds. The same way, in a physical sense, we look at what we're putting into our bodies, we have to look at what we are putting into our minds. So, you know, I love it. And this evening, I want to play a song for us. And it is a beautiful song. I love it. Whenever I listen to this song, I get into that dancing mood. Yeah? And the song, the title of the song is Greater Tomorrow. And Greater Tomorrow is by David Ikene. And the lyrics go something like this. My tomorrow must be greater than today. My tomorrow must be greater than today. His hands are not short that he cannot reach you. His eyes are never blind. He cannot see your tears. Sorry, his eyes are never blind. He cannot see your tears. His ears are not deaf that he cannot hear your cry. Your tomorrow must be greater than today. Your tomorrow must be greater than today. No matter what I face, no matter what I see, no matter what comes my way, no matter how I cry, one thing I know that is definite in my heart. My tomorrow must be greater than today. My tomorrow must be greater than today. And he repeats that. No matter what I face, no matter what I see, no matter what comes my way, no matter how I cry, one thing I know that is definite in my heart, my tomorrow must be greater than today. And the chorus goes on to say, hallelujah, I'm going to sing in my tomorrow. Hallelujah, I'm going to dance in my tomorrow. Hallelujah, I'm going to testify in my tomorrow. One thing I know that is definite in my heart, my tomorrow must be greater than today. So I pray that as I play this song for you, that you will join me in dancing, because I love to worship. I love music. And this, I want you to dance in your tomorrow. Yeah? Even as we are in this season, I want you to testify in your tomorrow. I want you to sing in your tomorrow. So I pray that you would join me in doing exactly what this song says. So enjoy Greater Tomorrow by David Ikene.
My tomorrow must be greater than today.
His hands are not short that he cannot reach to you. His eyes are never blind. He cannot see your teeth. His ears are not deaf that he cannot hear you cry. Your tomorrow must be greater than today. Your tomorrow must be greater
than today. Your tomorrow must be greater than today. I prophesy it now over you. No matter what you face,
no matter what comes my way,
one thing I know that is definite in my heart.
Oh, physical
pride.
What will you take my pride?
What will I know?
My
tomorrow.
I just know what feeling is. For the night, joy comes in the morning.
Be greater than today. I love that song. I love that song so much. And I pray that it encourages you and inspires you the way it does me. Yeah. And I pray that you would make that personal declaration that your tomorrow will be greater than today. As we continue our evening motivation, I'm thinking about the ways that we allow our fears, the way that we allow different situations to affect or to delay us in the things that we want to do. We talked this evening about fear. We talked about doubt. We talked about insecurities. Sometimes we are not even conscious that these things stand in our way. I saw there's a thought that says sometimes we are our own roadblock. Sometimes we stand in our own way. And this evening, even as we think about this devotional, about having a fresh perspective, I would want us to think of some of the ways that we stand in our own way. How do we stop ourselves from going forward? How do we stop ourselves from stepping out and doing new things, stepping out into new terrain? How do we stop ourselves? as you are listening this evening, I would like you to think about the things that you would want to do. Think about the fresh perspectives that you would want to have. Because sometimes we know what we want to do. We have a vision of where we want to be, of what we want to do. But somehow, you know, I like what Crystal said about the bullies, about the insecurities being bullies. Somehow, those bullies in our head seem louder. They seem more effective than even what we know that we want to do or the things that we know that we can do. When those bullies show up, they tend to discourage us in such a way that it cripples us, it prevents us from doing the things that we ought to do. So I want us to be able to identify our insecurities this evening. What are your insecurities? What are the things that are hindering you from doing the things that you want to do? As you think about it, I want us to be able then to create the thoughts, create them, the talk back. You know, you hear about talking back and clapping back, you know. What are the things you want to say back to your insecurities? What are those things? Because if you don't have a response, if you don't have a response to those insecurities, then those insecurities can overtake you. And even as we think of our relationships, what are some of the insecurities that we have in relationships? What is identified as number one is low self-esteem or confidence. The first one that's identified is low self-esteem or confidence. And it says, we're only ever as secure in a relationship as we allow ourselves to be. But if we've already been feeling uncertain about almost every aspect of our lives, then how can we expect our relationship to be any different? So first, we must be aware of that one, that bully called low self-esteem, because I like how Crystal put it. It's a bully. And you, once you recognize that something is a bully, then it means that you have to adjust your mindset. You have to adjust yourself in terms of your posture and your position to confront it and to deal with it. The second one that is identified as an insecurity is that of negative past experiences, emotional baggage. That's number two in terms of our insecurities. Negative past experiences or emotional baggage. Many of us have walked away from certain relationships either because something bad happened, where, for example, somebody was unfaithful, dishonest, etc. Or perhaps the very nature of the relationship itself had just been too toxic, abusive, emotionally unavailable, etc. As we walk away from such relationships, the healthy thing to do would be to also leave those negative memories behind and also move past them to start afresh. So we have to look at the bully of negative past experiences and look at it from the perspective of it hindering us from going forward, hindering us from beginning again, hindering us from entering new relationships with a positive perspective, a positive outlook, positive attitude. The third bully that's identified is attachment styles. Attachment styles. It says, based on psychological research, theory of attachment, it has been identified that a child develops different attachment styles, secure or insecure, depending on the way their parent interacted with them. It was also found that these attachment styles would continue into adulthood and would play an important role on the way individuals form their relationships. Having a neglected childhood could result in a person having greater insecurities as an adult, and because their emotional needs had not been met while growing when they were growing up. This causes major insecurity projections, especially in a relationship, because the individual with an insecure attachment style has little to no experience when it comes to getting their emotional needs met. The moment they finally understand what it feels like to have their emotional needs catered to, an unhealthy reliance is created. That individual has no other perceived means of receiving such affection. So we have to look at the issue of unhealthy attachment style. Look at our attachment style and look at the unhealthy attachment styles. Number four, personal life fulfillment or lack thereof. Another bully, another insecurity, another bully. And it says, as two distinct individuals prior to finding each other, the both of you are going to have unique aspects about yourselves that would make you uniquely you. Your career, your hobbies, your goals, your views, and even your favorite food are all tailored aspects of yourself that not only create your personal identity, but would also provide you with a sense of fulfillment. Many people tend to lose their individual identities after getting into a relationship, and consequently also lose that sense of personal life fulfillment. As a result, they turn to their partners instead and start relying on them in order to provide them with fulfillment and meaning. This factor by itself will be considered unhealthy, may not necessarily create insecurities in a relationship. However, when we develop a reliance on someone else to bring our lives meaning and fulfillment, there's usually also a subconscious expectation for the other person to feel the same way about us. That comes along with our reliance. This could cause insecurities and even jealousy to form. Whenever our partner experiences an external form of happiness unrelated to us, or when there's a positive change happening in our partner's lives, instead of feeling happy and supportive of our partner's achievements, we end up feeling bitter and insecure. All because something else, aside from us, had been able to make our partners happy and give their lives meaning. Number five is unequal past relationship experiences. Unequal past relationship experiences. By a certain point in everyone's adult life, we're going to eventually exhaust all of our relationship first times. We may have previously even called someone from a past relationship our soulmate, or perhaps ever came close to settling down. We all progress at a different pace, and even the amount of relationship experience will vary for every individual. If you're not a confident person to begin with, getting together with someone who has significantly more experience than you or previously involved in a serious relationship could easily cause relationship insecurities. If you're constantly making comparisons between you and your partner's exes, or the emotional connection they once had, which would probably be greater than yours, feelings of inferiority could easily take shape as you begin to doubt yourself and wonder if you could ever quite measure up. What can you do to overcome your insecurities? One, self-awareness. Be mindful of what your insecurities are and how they are affecting you and your relationship. Second thing we can do is to have open and honest communication. The other thing that we can do is to engage a professional therapist to help address deeper rooted issues. Understanding what our fears and insecurities are, sometimes it is not necessarily an easy process. It is not one that would seem enjoyable, but the end result is that we then become more aware of who we want to be, who we were designed to be, and we can actually deal with the things that are delaying us, standing in our way of becoming who we want to be. So this evening, as we look at the devotional, we want to take away from the devotional, we want to take away a new perspective. We want to go away thinking about our fresh perspective. It says everybody needs a fresh perspective. We don't want to carry forward an old perspective. We want to have a fresh perspective. So even in this season of our lives, we want to create fresh perspectives. We want to look back, but we just want to look back for the purpose of coming with a fresh perspective. We don't want to take the old perspective into the future. And as we think about going forward, as we think about that road sign that says fresh perspective ahead, I pray that we would continue to meditate on Romans 12, verse 2, that talks about renewing our minds. That mind renewal is very, very, very important. Because without them renewing our minds, we're going to find that we are going to be recycling the old things that are in our minds. So every now and again, we need to renew our mind so that we get that freshness, so that we have a clean sheet of paper, so that we have a clean slate. And what I like about the Romans 12 is that there's a purpose to renewing our minds. We're not just renewing our minds for the sake of renewing it, but there's a promise. There's something that we are guaranteed of when we renew our minds. It says that we will know. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be transformed. And, you know, even as I think about the transformations, it says, but be ye transformed. Now, when we think about transformations, when I'm teaching mathematics and I have to teach transformations, you know, I would start my students off by showing them fabric. Let's say we're working with a piece of fabric, stretch fabric, any sort of stretchy fabric. I would cut it out into a shape. And I will show them how when that fabric is stretched, it can then be transformed into other shapes. So I might start out with a rectangle. And as I pull that shape, I can end up having a figure with 8 sides. I can start with a triangle. And when I pull that triangle and I pull at different ends of it, I can end up with a totally different shape. So as we think about transformations, we're thinking about stretching. We're thinking about reshaping. When you look at, if you're looking at a place that has been set up for a conference or anything like that, you see the backdrops. Very often you see fabrics in the backdrop, and the fabrics would have been pulled and stretched. And every pull, every stretch creates a different shape. So as I think about Romans 12, I think about the stretching. I think about the shaping of myself. And it is when I'm stretched, it is when I'm shaped, that I can then be transformed. It is that stretching and shaping that allows me to renew. The verse continues to say, this is your true and proper worship. And when we think of worship, we think of singing. But it says that this is our true and proper worship. When we are transformed, when we think about what is perfect for God, when we think about giving God our best, when we think about our bodies offering ourselves as living sacrifices, it says that this is our true worship. As we renew our minds and we renew it to suit what God wants from us, it is a form of worship. So I encourage us this evening, even as we think about Romans, even as we think about Romans 12, verse 2, and I would encourage you to read the entire chapter, because there's so many nuggets in Romans 12. As we think about the devotional, new, fresh perspective ahead, I pray that we would think of those things that lie within us, the things that we want to become, the things that we want to do. And as we think about them, we speak back to our bullies of fear, our bullies of insecurity, bullies of doubt, the bullies of imperfections. And I pray that we would speak back to those bullies, that we would confront those bullies, confront them with what God intended us to be. Know our true identity so that we would recognize when a false identity is being superimposed on us. And I pray that as you take this devotion with you this evening, that indeed your tomorrow will be greater than today. God bless you, listeners, and thank you for joining us on Evening Motivation. I'm going to replay that song by David Ekiene, and even as I go, I pray that the song truly will become your reality. May your tomorrow be greater than today. God bless you, listeners. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.
My brother, sister, don't cry.
You gotta dance on tomorrow.
Wipe away your tears, my brother.
You gotta testify.
One thing I know.
My tomorrow.
I just know one thing.
I just want to shout out Pastor Kimberly, who is locked on. She's here messaging me. She said she loves it. Pastor Kimberly from Rima. Pastor Kimberly Wave, thank you for locking in. Thank you for listening in to Dr. Bajan Blogs Radio. You know, I know you can connect with the bully part. I love that part where Crystal said that our insecurities are like bullies. You know, I just love that. And I'm sure we're going to have lots of conversation about that little nugget. So Pastor Kimberly, to you and your members, your congregation, Sister Rhonda, just want to shout out the members of your ministry. Yeah, and I hope that at some point, Pastor Kimberly, that you will be able to join us, that you will come on air and just encourage the listeners, do some motivation, do some declarations. Yeah, it would be wonderful to have you, Pastor Kimberly, in the house. So thank you for letting us know. I passed all your information to Crystal so that she would know that you enjoyed it. And, you know, it is always great when we have young people who are locked on, locked down to God, and who know their purpose, who know, you know, their identity. So thank you for encouraging Crystal and encouraging other young listeners as well. So thank you, Pastor Kimberly and crew, for being locked on this evening. You know, and there's a follow-up program after this. It's an adult program. It's called Unplugged. Yeah, and they're discussing lots of life issues. And it's being moderated by the man, Dr. Bloggs himself. You know, you can listen in, get a feel for that program, and see if that's something that can work for you as well. Because I know sometimes in the church we are a bit timid. Sometimes we don't discuss life issues as in depth as we should. But unplug, as the name suggests, means unplug. So put the children to bed, and if you're ready for a very stimulating discussion about life issues, you can continue to listen in to Dr. Bloggs Radio. The topic for tonight, oh my God, I do not know how he comes up with these topics, but the topic for tonight: you start a relationship, fall in love, and then realize the person is married. Would you date someone in a long distance? Would you date someone in a long distance relationship? That's the topic for tonight. So, ladies, members of Rhema Ministries, Pastor Kimberly Way, feel free to join that discussion. And if you like it and think it's a safe place, continue to listen in to Dr. Bloggs Radio. So, once again, listeners, good evening. I'm over and out. God bless you. Make your tomorrow greater than today.
Tomorrow. We can just for the night, just comes in the morning.